Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Hallelujah. I've been thinking of a way to help you better understand the concept of Ebenezer, and I think I figured out a brilliant way to illustrate it to you. I know you are church people, but how many of you be honest enough to admit that years ago, maybe decades ago, you had a crush somewhere, maybe even primary school? Did you ever have a crush in primary school? Thank you for your honesty. And you even imagined getting married to the person. You never told your parents because you know they will knock your head and say, face your books. But it was a strong memory in your heart. And you just thought, like, it would be wonderful. Did it ever happen that any such person, your path just never crossed again? And you would from time to time have flashbacks and wonder, where is this person's self? I wonder how they're doing in life. Hopefully, you're not still stalking the person. God has a way of removing that person from your life, leaving you wondering the rest of your life, where is the person? But just imagine, thank God you also are blessed, moving on with your life, established, married, hopefully, you know, with kids, or that is on the way. And you stumble on the person at the mall. And everything is slow. Your heart is racing. It's nostalgic. But as you come close, you see something blinking, shining on the person's finger. If you don't understand Ebenezer, the stone of help, understand engagement rings, understand wedding rings. Because when other gods come to a nation and see that they've raised an altar, a stone of help, they know immediately that they mean we are already taken. Come on, now you get what I'm saying? So it represents so many things. I'm letting you know that just one symbol tied around a finger can represent so many things. Even if you dated the person in the past, now because of, so you have not had any conversation, just because of a ring in the person's finger, you know the past is the past. You know there is a new consecration. You know the person has had a new beginning. Come on, now you get to what I'm saying. And these are the kind of understandings you must have as you talk about the concept of Ebenezer, because just to show you the parallels, the children of Israel did have a past. They were churchgoers, quote unquote. They had this kind of cosmetic faith. It was not really strong. They were the kind of people that expected God to show up for them when they were in trouble, but never really had a walk with God. You know, no such devotion. You've seen people like that, respectfully speaking, but, you know, actually it's the fact. You see someone who is constantly singing songs that do not glorify God, but at the album, you know, at the award ceremony, he dedicates the award to God, and you are confused. You know, there are some songs that will confuse you. You just wonder, what exactly is going on here? You know, there's a song that says, I want your body sleeping in my bed. The next line says, serving a living God. Same song. You know, and listen, and I'm just saying that sometimes it's not even the problem of the world. It's the fact that we have demonstrated Christianity as something that only concerns a God who is only bothered about helping you win in life. Come on, I get what I'm saying. And so some people just slap on that title without any consecration. That was the exact situation of the children of Israel. So when they were fighting the Philistines, and it looked like they were going to lose, they did what everybody who goes to church does when they're in trouble. Well, let's call upon God. I mean, we've not spoken in a while, but he's God, he's nice. He will answer me. That's basically what they were doing. And so they said, let's go and bring the ark. Now, even the Philistines knew the efficacy of the power of God. The moment they saw the ark coming, they began to cry and weep and complain like, listen, we are in trouble. Is that the ark we see coming? We have lost. But they said, you know what, let's just try. And even the Philistines were surprised that they won and seized the ark. Listen to me, oh. I've seen this many times. There are people who practice this cosmetic Christianity and they tend to make God look like a liar. I've seen it many times. You know, the first time I had this rude awakening as a pastor, we're having a camp meeting, praying, you know, and all of that. In between one of the sessions, one of the ladies in church went outside. Someone hypnotized her, collected her phone, and she came back to the church crying. I say, you? They hypnotized you in between a camp meeting. Wonderful. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Because for some people, it's a game. I'm sorry to say, or it's just an activity. Do your life the way you want it and just give God the glory. Whether or not he asks you to do what you're doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people don't really understand what consecration really means, what it entails, what it demands. And so they are shocked. And God always has a way of vindicating himself so that you will know it is the people who were not faithful. It is not me who was insufficient with power. Because the same ark was now taken to the Philistine territory, put in front of Dagon, and you know what happened. They came the next morning to find Dagon bowing to the Ark of the Covenant. They thought, oh, maybe, is this place windy? Maybe a wind pushed it down. So they set it back up. They came back the next morning again, found Dagon caught hands and feet by a supernatural hand. So God vindicated. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And in every generation, while some people, because you know, some people are hypocrites, but they will prefer to pretend to you that it is the word that did not work. I've seen it many times before. You know, you can be fooling yourself praying and fasting for people that are not serious. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll never forget in a deliverance session with someone, we had gone some minutes. It was clear the power of God was there. The person is pinned to the floor, you know, and all of that. But the demon is taking time to leave. So I reset the whole thing. Ask the person to sit. I said, is there anybody you have not forgiven? Say, my ex, I will not forgive him. I cannot forgive him. I said, why did you waste my time? Why did you waste my time? Okay, go home. Go home. Because you want the benefit of God without the protocol of God. Come on, I get what I'm saying. So after everything, these people retrace their steps back. Some of you probably know what it means to come to the end of yourself. You've tried the foolish idea of, attempting life on your own. You've seen the futility of it, and you say, no more. Lord, I will hold you all the days of my life. I'm not playing games anymore. Listen, this is the first step to Ebenezer. Come on, I get what I'm saying? I've tried it on my own. I've gotten my fingers burnt. Never again in my life. I know what it means to give the devil an inroad. I have seen the futility and the fatality of trying that. Because think about it. In one sweep, when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen or seized, Ella heard of it, and in shock, he died. He had a heart attack and died instantly. I think there's a prophetic metaphor in there. I think that some of our fathers might be seeing some of the inconsistencies in the church. They will almost die. Like, what is going on? Eli could not conceive it. The ark was seized. I've worked with God too long to conceive this kind of inconsistency. How did he couldn't conceive it. Just died on the spot. His daughter-in-law was carrying a baby. The stress. He went into premature labor, gave birth to a child, named the child Ichabod. The glory has departed, you know, and then she died. You know, let me tell you something. And I pray you don't experience it. Eh? There are people who chose to play games, maybe dabble into some funny stuff, patronize other gods out of desperation. When they see the consequence, if you think that waiting for the Lord is costing a lot, try Satan. You have dealt with wicked spirits before. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirits. People who have come to the end of themselves recognize the insufficiency of their own wisdom, the insufficiency of their own strength. It says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, it's very important. Before we talk about divine help, the people who deserve divine help are the people who are truly convinced they cannot do it on their own. And in this case, experience is not the best teacher. You don't have to learn the hard way. You don't have to learn like a fool. Read the Bible. Learn from the mistakes of others. Align yourself. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? In my small experience, God is always right. Always right. Always right. Even the things you don't understand, he's always right. I like it, for instance, when science vindicates God. And it happens too many times. It happens too many times. And now, there are atheist psychologists who, without subscribing to the authority of scriptures, just by research, are now advocating the very things that the Bible is advocating for. And I'm telling you, for instance, cohabitation before marriage is going to frustrate your marriage eventually. They're saying that just based on research. Or they are telling you, listen, there is no net positive to drinking alcohol. No net positive to smoking weed. They're not even saying this because the Bible says this in chapter this, verse this. They're saying because it's foolish. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? I've seen many people, you know, I was reading a report. This is not a Christian. This is not a church goer. He just saw the medical implications of pornography. How it messes up with your mind, messes up with your self-discipline, messes up with your ability to focus on goals in life. Because it's a form of escapism. You are escaping. And you are distracting yourself from purpose, being preoccupied with this with this vile profanity or perversion. Nobody preached to him on his own. He said, this thing is bad. You can damage the gift of imagination God gave you so much that you can now have a partner in your house on the bed. And then you are somewhere in front of a screen, touching yourself. It's a form of mental illness. You don't know it. Come on, I get what I'm saying. What you are lusting after, the real version is in your house. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? This thing can damage you, damage your business, damage, it can damage your children. You know, real life story is a lady, when she knew she had had enough, because she had been telling her husband, you have to stop this, you have to stop this, and he wouldn't listen. Then one night, she went into the living room, and she saw her son, I think he was 4 at the time, he put a screen in front of him. He pulled down his trouser and was trying to touch him. Apparently, he had caught his father a few times doing that. And now he's trying to... See, let me tell you something. It just reminds me of a secular artist. He came back home and saw his own daughter singing his song. And he started crying. You see the thing with these foolish people? They destroy other people's children. Oh. That was the last time he retired that night. He said, I won't sing again. You gonna need wisdom. Oh. The person who created TikTok has come out publicly to say his children are not allowed to use it. Oh, you don't know? He's not allowed in his house. See, all I'm saying is this. You go need apply. Are you listening to me? You side with God and side with God early. When we are talking about Ebenezer, the stone of help, God is telling you implicitly, 2026 is a landmark year. Do you know what landmarks are? Landmark. That you have put a landmark in your life. When you're looking back at this year, you say, this was the year I decided so and so foolishness no more by the help of God forever. Yeah. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Landmark. So this is a year of years. It's a foundation year. When we're talking about stones, we're talking about foundations. A landmark year. It's another legacy year. What ideologies am I going to create for my family? What memory will they point back to? That when I have my children and children's children, I will bring them back to the remembrance of 2026 and say, these are the covenants or the agreements we entered into with the Lord as a family. These are the things that we will adhere to forever. An eternal ordinance. That when you see maybe some young relative, a teenager, moving in a particular way, you know, I'll never forget this. Some things hit farther than sermons. I was staying with a relative, you know, and then I was in that my era where I was like, the people who were saying you are a church boy, let's not spoil you. And I was saying, I want to spoil. What do you mean? You know? Because it annoyed me that the glory of God just followed me. So even when I didn't advertise myself as a born-again believer, they always saw it somehow. It annoyed me. And so this uncle saw the way I was moving, and I was staying with him for a while. So he sat down. He said, anything you can think of in this life that you want to do, I have done more. And that was the day he told me for the first time. He said, I was in a cult. I was a hitman. When I hear hitman, he said, you know, some things are more than sermons. He said, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirts. You go need calm down. I've explored all. I came to the end of myself. I realized Jesus is all I need. Don't waste your prime. He stuck with me and never left. Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Maybe when you die, that's when different women that your wife didn't know about will show up and start struggling inheritance with your children. That's what you want, Evie? Answer me, is that what you want? These are some things that even pagans have decided will never happen. Just for legacy's sake. Hallelujah. Ebenezer. The stone that other builders rejected is our cornerstone. David said, the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. You have to understand that stones were used to divide portions, land portions, boundary markers. Boundary markers. Are you listening to me? I remember someone showing me a land. He said, you see, from that stone to this stone, that's the land. It's still done today. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ebenezer is my portion. Let others be free to serve other gods. I have camped my tent with Yahweh and only Yahweh. He's the only name on my lips. He's the only way that I know. The pillar that holds my life. Come on! Are you listening to me? Let me try and give you an acronym that will help you understand what God wants to do this year. I'll give you the acronym later. It's ready, but I'll give you later. So very simply, all we're telling you is that this year, you're going to finally decide, if you haven't already, I'm not going to play games. I'm going to camp with God. I'm going to take God seriously. That's a devotional decision. A devotional decision. Take God seriously. There is a way you listen to sermons if you're taking God seriously. There is a way you pray if you're taking God seriously. There is a way you worship if you're taking God seriously. There are choices, life choices you will make if you're taking God seriously. So after the glory had departed and everything, there were some things that they did to bring themselves back. The first thing is, they put away foreign gods. Are you listening to me? That was the first thing they did. So in 1 Samuel 7, verse 3, the instruction was put away Baals, put away Ashtaroths, and prepare your hearts to the Lord. It was John who said it, and I'm saying it to you. He said, my children, beware of idols. Beware of idols. Put away idols from your life. What are the things that struggle for the place of God in my life? What are those things? What are those things that always tend to make me compromise? The sins that easily beset. You know, there are some people, when it comes to money, no price is too high. And no standard is too low. They will just do anything, cast off virtuous restraints, compromise anyhow. There are some decisions you must make early. Eh? Some things will never be at any cost. There are some things you would rather be poor than do. Are you listening to me? Decide now. I would rather be poor than do this. Put away other gods. Other gods. Other gods. Amen, somebody. The next thing they said they did was they gathered together in humility. So they fasted together, confessed before the Lord. That's verse 6. The Bible says they gathered together. This is not the type of year where you just decide when you want to fellowship and when you don't want to. This is not the type of year. Some devotions must be sacrosanct, unmovable in your life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your children should be afraid to tell you they don't want to go to church. It should be an occasion for fear. Are you listening to me? Uh-huh. If they dare not tell you they won't go to school, they dare not tell you they won't go to church. Both are important in this house. Come on, are you listening to me? Uh-huh. And you see, it is all those things that they watch you and they imbibe. And they imbibe. You know, I've said it before. Maybe I will not be here today if my parents didn't present church as something important. It was important in our house. Not only will you go to church, you will be there early. In those days, they will just dress up fast and enter the car. If they look back and they don't see you. It will not be easy for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you know, all those little investments helped. God doesn't have to tell you, this child is special, take care of him. You have to assume. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to assume. You have to assume. If they didn't do that, I probably would not be here. Before I even knew enough to take God seriously for myself, at least the seriousness with which my parents took him sparked a curiosity that this God is not a joke. Because they prayed seriously, they served him seriously, it affected me. Hallelujah. So, just like that old crush that you had in primary school, you see the crush and there's a ring in the person's finger and you immediately know the past is the past, right? Another thing that Ebenezer should stir up your mind towards is the principle of meditation. So, listen. This year, just to be sure you're following me, the first thing is this. There is a boundary marker of things that are past in our life. Come on, are you listening to me? I know you have been in the Lord for a while. Hopefully, we don't have to be dealing with sin. If you have to deal with that now, okay, that is in the past by the help of God. Say loud, amen. Amen. But even things that are not necessarily sin, but weights that don't help you run. You're going to be serious in devotion, serious in other aspects of your life. And then the next thing I want to talk about, I talked about it in devotion this morning. Were you blessed?
Yes,
now, chorus answer. The idea that Ebenezer gives you is this. It is that meditation is visible. Say meditation is visible. Because on that day, where the Lord intervened for the children of Israel, they could have just said, today was special, we will not forget. Mm-mm-mm-mm. They went beyond that to commemorate that day. They raised a stone and they called it Ebenezer. So that every time they are passing, they also will remember. So I said, listen, if any foreign god sees that altar, they will know that these people already serve Yahweh. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? But the altar also speaks to you, not just the foreign gods. It also speaks to you. It reminds you of the goodness of God. You see, in 2025, when you think of meditation, you think of a man just looking in blank space. And from experience, I think women, not I would say from experience, but women seem to hate that thing. As a woman, be honest, you're walking past and you see your husband just looking and smiling. Will you let him be? Someone said no with annoyance. You say, what's he thinking about? It better be me. We think that's what meditation is. And whilst you can meditate like that, meditation was more symbolic, more serious in Bible days. I'll show you an example. I gave you that example this morning, but I know we all gave a chorus answer, and we're assuming everybody tuned in for devotion. By the way, by the help of God, we will not miss a day of devotion this year. Say loud, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, from verse 6. It says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And someone says, oh yeah, I will just commit it to memory. No, 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 it's deeper than that. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Listen, this year, by the grace of God, you are going to consciously indoctrinate your children. You see, I'm working on a syllabus for children. I'm working on a more robust one. And get ready. We'll soon start having teaching camp meetings for children, just for teaching children. All right? Teaching camp meetings. And something very prophetic happened. It was a Kairos intervention. I found myself somewhere that I ought not to be at. Just had a strong nudge to go there. And their children were going through such a training. When I saw one of the modules of the discipleship, big folder like this. I think it's class 1 to 10, each module. It says, teach your children diligently. Talk of them when you sit in your house And when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, talk about it all the time. Let it be the preoccupation in your house. Come on, say loud amen. Amen. Verse 18, and verse 8, I beg your pardon. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. Oh my God. You know, I've said this before. Many people don't know that the mark of the beast is actually an imitation of the mark of God. There is a mark. Come on, are you listening to me? That every child of God ought to have. This one talks about it in a prophetic metaphorical way as being on your forehead and on your hand. And listen, this is what you should understand, that it is those who have their forehead vacant and their hand vacant that will take the mark of the beast. The devil shouldn't find you vacant, void of consecration, void of covenant. So when you don't have the word of God, the covenant of God, in those places, you are vacant. Come on, I get what I'm saying? But again, this isn't something, meditation isn't something that you just say, okay, 2026, I will pray more. No, structure over discipline. Are you getting what I'm saying? Structure over discipline. God did not just say, be disciplined to keep my word. He's telling you how. Make sure it is visible. Make sure you see it regularly so that indeed you don't forget. So when we are talking about raising up altars, the stone of help, you are talking about something, a structure that will always stir up your remembrance. It might be little things like a playlist that will come on at a particular time every day. Simple things like devotion time. Come on, now you get what I'm saying? Simple things like going to church. Listen to me. It is one thing to have the discipline of a prayer life, which every believer must have. But I can tell you one thing. If you have chosen the right church, even if it is just to show up there, if you determine to show up there, no matter how tired, discouraged, and frustrated you are about life or anything you are going through, I must just go there. Listen, I don't feel like praying, but I will just go there. I would rather sit through the service than not attend. Listen. He leads me beside the still waters. Even if you are not inside, your soul will be restored. It's a game of proximity. Just show up. Just show up. Has it ever happened to you? You came to church feeling discouraged, but before the middle of the service, you were full of the Spirit, praying in a way that you were surprised. Just show up. There is something about the corporate anointing that can stir you up in the moment of weakness. Just show up. It's one of the structures you must have. That this year, I will just show up as consistently as I can. I will bind it on my forehead, bind it around my hand. It must be visible around me. Come on, I get what I'm saying? Look at verse 9. You shall write them on your doorsteps, on your doorposts of your house, and on your gates. Meditation is visible. Meditation is visible. Meditation is visible. You know, something happened that really touched me. Now, when I say it now, the person will now know. So, I had two ministrations in one day, not too long ago. And after the first one, instead of going back and going for the second one, which was around the same area, I just told somebody on my team, find me one of our workers who stays around. So when I got the number, I just called. I said, surprise, surprise, I'm coming to your house. You know? And you know, and the wife started freaking out. What kind of food was it like? Was calling my wife. I said, just I know really they eat like that. Don't worry yourself. You know. But you know something that blessed me? When I got there, I said, I need a room to pray. So they said, oh, yes. And as I was walking up, I saw pictures of possibilities, number one. And then all his goals, all his meditations, the things he's trusting for, pasted on the wall. Pasted, specific. You know, and when he was doing that, maybe he didn't know that a time will come that his pastor will be alone in the room. So I know now he's hearing me. So let me tell you what I did when you left me in the room. I placed my hand on all those goals. You know, this is how the kairos of God works. I placed my hand on them. I said, Lord, honor, 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 honor. That's how God moves. You just don't know. You just never know. And what would have given you the idea that one day your pastor will be in your room? How can that happen? But it was just very inspiring to me. You it's easy to know someone going somewhere just by looking at it. Wow. Praise the Lord. Clear goals. Clear goals. Meditations will be clear and specific this year. I'm not playing around. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Part of the boundary markers will be friends that are not going the same direction. I'm busy. God did not just tell the children of Israel, make sure you remember how I brought you out of Egypt. He set a feast that was going to be a remembrance. Come on, are you listening to me? He set a feast that was going to be a remembrance. Hallelujah. Can I give you that acronym now?
Yes, sir.
So the acronym is HELPED. HELPED. H is for humility. I'm referring to the fact that we've come to the end of ourselves. We've realized it's not in man to direct his own ways. So we need God. We really need God. We are looking at 2026 and we're saying, Lord, it's only by your help. So we humble ourselves. We put no confidence in the flesh. Is that not what we always say? So this also comes, of course, with a lot of repentance, you know, and all of that. You're throwing away foolishness. And E, we'll talk about this sometime in the future, but the next is actually remembrance. But since the acronym is HELPED, E, call it Eucharistic Remembrance. Eucharistic remembrance. Eucharist is spelled EUCHARISTIC. Now, I will say this and I will say this. I wasn't planning to say this later. I wanted to, you know, something about the body of Christ is this. How do I explain this? Two things. Number one, nobody's going to take offense with your theology if you don't teach theology at all. It's amazing. And I'm not defending the people who have this ideology. But believe me sincerely, there are some people who consider it distracting to take any theological position, because that leads me to number two. Everyone is a false teacher to somebody. Everyone. I can't think of any teacher in history that I agree with on everything. Come on, I get what I'm saying. So sometimes these things are better ignored. Okay? That being said, it takes a lot of humility and a lot of consistency, you know, teaching theology, you know, and all of that. And, you know, it reminds me of a video I saw, I think by Wesley Hoff. He's a theologian. And he did a video debunking himself. You know, things he said in the past that he could have said better and all of that. I know there are many sensitive spots for the body of Christ as a whole, especially for people who are not used to debating ideas. I'm taking my time for a reason. You know, we're going through some history classes with some of our pastors. And I talked about a very notable theologian, one of the most notable. And I asked him a question. I said, did you know that this guy did not used to have his bath? And everybody's like, huh? Huh? What? That can't be. And they said, why? And he said, because Jesus had washed away his sins. True life story. That Jesus had washed away his sins. So he did not used to have his bath. He stopped having his bath. And you know, and so many things. You know, and then when it comes to even things like maybe water baptism, many notable theologians, and I'm not talking about early before doctrine now was now standardizing, you know, and all of that. I'm even talking post-Nicene Creed. Many theologians believed that any sin you committed after water baptism will not be forgiven. And so they delayed water baptism. Some of them, they would have water baptism just when they're about to die. Oh, yes. So even Constantine delayed his baptism that much. I'm saying that for a reason. Because when it comes to arguments on maybe ordinances or sacraments, and that's another debate. There's a difference between the two. Most notable what are they called denominations disagree when it comes to those things. And so many people will just resort to church history and say, well, it was practiced in church history. The problem is when you look to church history, it now leads you to a lot of other things, a lot of other inconsistencies. Because if you rely on church history to teach you, about sacraments and ordinances, inevitably there will be other issues, because many notable theologians in church history believed that you should baptize infants. Did you know that? Exactly, believed in infant baptism, which the Baptists don't believe in. People from the Protestant Reformation don't believe in it, and all of that. They've considered it inconsistent and all of that. And now what they are now relying on, many of the Baptists and the Protestants are now relying on sola scriptura. Listen, leave church history. Let's go back to the Bible. And when you go back to the Bible, another argument starts. Because we all claim to be objective and all of that. However, are you listening to me? With all the concerns and all the issues that I, you know, that I have, and are still very legitimate and still, see, I think the last time I was talking about this, I gave you seven names of notable atheists, including Hitler. Hitler was baptized. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hitler was baptized. Charles Dawkins was baptized. The author of The God Delusion was baptized. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now, the paranoia of a man of God who honors the word. Okay, did you see recently a lady who wanted to win Guinness Book of Record, I think, for most guys slept with in one day? I think she slept in 1,500 or so. You know, she posted a video of her getting baptized, and many Christians say it's a lie, that she's not really saved. How do you know? Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the so it means implicitly, we believe that the real fruit of salvation is behavioral. Are you getting what I'm saying? However, there are several other arguments and all of that. So when it comes to things like this, whether you like it or not, and like I said, it's historically proven, a lot of wrong people, insincere people, will be baptized. You know that, don't you? The reason why it is usually better to prefer the sign and the seal of the Holy Spirit is that that one cannot be mimicked. It cannot be imitated. However, as it pertains to its serviceability to the brethren itself, themselves, and especially in a year like this where we are talking about remembrance, casting your mind back, for the people that we can truly vouch for, there will be times we'll start with workers' meeting, where we are sure. Are you getting what I'm saying? And apart from the love feast, which we already do, coming together, eating once in a while, we will say, let us remember Christ, his body, broken for us. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And his blood shed for us. Because there are many other things that are abused that are still useful. Are you getting what I'm saying? So symbols are still serviceable and all of that. And the conversations will still be ongoing. The conversations will still be ongoing. But especially for a year like this, and I don't have the time to tell you the journey, you know, that the Lord has led me through and the things that the Lord spoke to me about. But in a year of remembrance, it makes sense that we'll remember. And L, I want to finish this as quickly as possible. L stands for life together. fellowship, prayer, and fun. We will do life together as much as we can. Say loud amen. That church will not be just a special program. It will not just be a special program. We will do life together. We are going to emphasize house fellowship. If the Lord leads me one day, I will say, don't come here at all. Sunday, find a map, every map, find a small venue and do your services. That's how determined I am. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. Within the greater congregation, you must find your platoon. You must find your platoon. And we're literally going to divide us to companies of 50, as small as 50. Small as 50, so that follow-up will be easier. So what we are doing is, personally and corporately, we just want to strengthen the standards for the future. This is a very important year for us. Okay? P is for posterity. That means we're going to take family very seriously. Family very seriously. I wanted to surprise you, but one of the things we're doing with morning devotion with Triumph 30 is we're going to change the format to really typify morning devotion. So the new studio is actually a sitting room. Yes. The new studio is actually a sitting room. You just see people gather together with the kind of instruments you have at home. Tambourines, shakers, you know, and so that's what we are doing. That's what we are doing. And we're working on it earnestly, and it will be done. So we're also working on a curricula that you can use to teach your children. Okay? Hallelujah. Then E is for excellence and growth. Excellence and growth. We take spiritual discipline seriously, emotional maturity seriously, skill, structure, stewardship. And D is for deployment. D is for deployment. Because when we say, hitherto God has helped us, we are preparing ourselves for more by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? For more. More. We are, when we are reinforcing our conviction on divine help, is so that we can go with much more force. You will be surprised the kind of ground, the kind of help we're about to witness this year. Please say a loud amen. And I mean both corporately and personally. You know, a man of my God, during his ministration, he said something. And if you've been a member of this church long enough, you've heard me say it before. I have noticed that the things God does corporately, he also does personally. He also does. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. So I want you to expect it. I want you to trust God for it. You are going to experience extraordinary help by the hand of God. Please say loud, amen. The year is primarily about devotion, but in a practical way, in a practical way that is visible to the blind and audible to the deaf, you will see the help of God this year. Listen, all of a sudden, the thunder began to strike the Philistines. Listen, in a way that even atheists will call the acts of God in your favor. I said, you are going to see the hand of God this year. Whatever has been standing against your peace, whatever has been frustrating your liberty in the Lord, I see the hand of God stretched over against it. Experience the help of God in your finances. Experience the help of God in your health.
Experience the help of God in all that concerns you. Experience the help of God in your coming out, in your going in your office, in your village, everywhere you go, in your walk with God, in your finances, in the name of Jesus. In your personal devotional life, experience the help of God. You are going to experience more grace. Listen, the Bible says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Again, I'm saying that this year, you will experience divine help. All of the habits or inconsistencies, maybe not even sin, but the fact that you want to pray more and you have been struggling, I see grace carrying you. I said, I see grace carrying you. I see God creating an environment of help for you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. What the enemy designed to destroy you, I see you jumping over and above it. Thank you, Father. Peace round about by the help of God. In Jesus' mighty name.
Because you are the pillar that holds my life. You are the pillar. Master Jesus, you are. Master Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We bless your name. What a year we're about to have. We trust you. We celebrate in advance. I, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, we bless your name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.